Well, this morning, this is something that if you're a little bit younger, you should be able to engage in at least some of it. And if you're a little bit older, you should be able to engage in all of it. And generally speaking, we find that the stuff that's for those who are younger, for once, the grown-ups get it. And so that's really good as well. Now, I'd like to start with a song. So Wayne's going to line up the track, and here it goes. Steve's going to make the words try and fit.
What's cute about a little cutie? It's her beauty, not brains. Old Father Time will never harm you if your charm still remains. After you grow old, baby, you don't have to be a cold baby. Keep young and beautiful. It's your duty to be beautiful.
It's the next one, Steve.
Here or for there, when you're seen anywhere with your hat off, wear a Marcel wave in your hair. Take care of all those charms, and you'll always be in someone's arms. Keep young and beautiful if you want to be loved. To be beautiful, that's right, girls. Keep young and beautiful if you want to be loved. Keep young and beautiful if you want to be loved. Oop-a-doo.
Thank you, gentlemen. Did you enjoy that? It's unusual to start a sermon or a talk with absolute and utter lies. But I thought that that might be fun for a change. Because it's the lies that our world completely believes. Do you know who that was singing that? It was actually Annie Lennox pretending to be singing a song back in the 30s. Keep young and beautiful. But it points to the way so many feel. And 50 years, 60 years ago, when that song was first written, they were still feeling the same way. Same pressures. That value is dependent upon looks, upon youthfulness. If you're a guy, it's about having ripped abs. If you're a girl, it's about having a flat tummy and being beautiful and looking young. And so much of that stuff you see on the telly, don't you? L'Oreal, because you're worth it. And now Pierce Brosnan's done one, a man version of L'Oreal. It's so stupid, it makes you want to hurl, makes you want to throw up. We decided last week that for Aussie guys who can't be feminine in any way, it's like L'Oreal, because you're ugly. That one maybe would work. But the ad men take every opportunity to take advantage. So we're bombarded with pictures of the young and the beautiful. We're advised to buy this product, eat this food, do this exercise regime. And if you do, you'll be somehow more acceptable. Keep young and beautiful if you want to be loved. Do you take any notice? Perhaps a little bit. Creams, potions, multivitamins. When I talk to you about buying the right house, I just say one word and you know what that one word is, don't you? It's Delphin. If I talk about diet, I will say three words and you know what they are, won't you? What are they? Three words, diet. Come on. Light and easy. Because it's light and it's easy. You see, you did know. Morning exercises by the open window. First one eyelid, then the other. A brisk walk. As you get older, the latest high-tech hearing aids, dentures, contact lenses. You get up in the morning, put your eyes on, your teeth in, hearing on, you're ready to face the world. But the truth is, there's no amount of morning or evening exercises, there's no amount of health and beauty products will keep us young forever, not even me. And our Harry, you're in no position. And our society creates a wrong dependence on these things. It can leave older folks feeling lonely, isolated, marginalized, on the scrap heap because they're judged by the wrong criteria. Younger folks feeling like they don't fit or they're not valued because they don't meet that criteria either. But before you start to get depressed, I want to remind you that our society is utterly wrong to do that, and that our Heavenly Father looks at the heart. In fact, He's concerned that we stay young and fit and beautiful in our hearts. So actually, we've got a chance, haven't we? He's so concerned that He gives us an exercise program to help us do just that. We're going to look at a psalm to help us do that. With some revolutionary advice on how to stay young and healthy. It won't cost you an arm and a leg. It's been proven, clinically proven, by years of research. Anyone can do it. It's hugely rewarding. It's even enjoyable. It's Psalm 92. And we're going to read it together. Psalm 92. I'm going to start to read at verse 1. It's a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music in Your name, O Most High, to proclaim Your love in the morning and Your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For You make me glad by Your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. How great are Your works, O Lord. How profound are Your thoughts. The senseless man doesn't know. Fools don't understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, that they will be forever destroyed. But You, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely Your enemies, O Lord, surely Your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You've exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him." What keeps us young and healthy? Well, we've got actually some clues there. Verse 12, flourish like the palm tree, grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Verse 14, bear fruit in old age, stay fresh and green. What keeps us young and healthy? Who is young and healthy? The righteous. So staying young, fit, and beautiful on the inside comes from a basic attitude of those who are righteous, those who trust God to be good, to be faithful, to be dependable. An attitude of righteousness and trust. Acting, speaking, thinking in a way that pleases God, in a way that's concerned to follow Jesus' example and trusting God with all our heart to do what's good and right. There is no wickedness in Him. He is our God, our rock, our strength, our security. Now, that's not so easy when we feel lonely, when our bodies ache and our minds are sometimes confused, when our world keeps changing almost beyond recognition. But that's what will make us beautiful on the inside. And to be honest, The inside is what so many people ignore. And as we get older, it begins to show if we're not careful. As we get older, sometimes folk don't want to be with us. Not because we're not beautiful on the outside, but because we're getting increasingly grouchy, grumpy, stubborn, and miserable. And there is a sense in which, as one man quoted, we are, after a certain age, responsible for the faces we have. Because the faces we have are a reflection of what's inside us. There was a little old lady who was dying at one of our old churches, and she was just fantastic. You'd spend time with her, and you would leave lifted up. And I said to her once, "How do you do that?" Well, she said, "I looked around at some of my friends, and some of them were great fun, and some of them got worse and worse as they got older. They got more grumpy, they got more miserable, they got more ungrateful, they focused on the negative," and she thought, "I'm never going to be like that." So at the age of about 65, I made a decision that that is not who I'm going to be. And do you know something? She was beautiful. She was beautiful because of what was going on the inside. It's hard, and God knows it's hard, so he doesn't just give us our aim, righteousness, trust, but he gives us some morning and evening exercises to help us. If you're young and beautiful now, these exercises will make you young and beautiful on the inside, and it'll show on the outside. And here's the first. As you get up in the morning, with your first stretch, you praise. Okay? Could you do that for me, please? With your first morning stretch, you praise. Very good. Let's just try it again, because there were a couple of people not praising. And I will walk among the tables. And here we go. Let's just raise our arms now. And I can see two here. I can see one now. Come on, Matt. You know you want higher, higher. Oh, beautiful. Look at that smile. It's that kind of, that's a real turn on for the girls as well. It's seeing someone praising God. Absolutely. And if you can cook, it helps. The first exercise, it's good to praise the Lord. Verse 4, I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Every morning, every evening, take the time to praise God for who he is, for what he's done. Think about creation. Think about salvation. Think about his love. Think about his faithfulness. So step one of your morning and evening exercise program is to praise, to spend a little time thanking and praising God. You may be you've got too big a grumpy quotient at the moment to do it easily, so you may need to start by putting on a praise and worship CD so that you can get a little help. You may want to start just reading through the Psalms to give you a little help. You may find it helpful to use a songbook. Read the words of some of your favorite songs, as long as they're encouraging and uplifting. You might even want to sing, but please be kind to others. Proverbs says, a man who blesses his neighbor loudly in the morning, it'll be taken for a curse. And there's a reason for that. Be kind to the dog, the cat, the budgie, the family when you sing. Even if you have to start with, you know it's hard at the moment, Lord, but, and move on to the discipline of praise. You'll be amazed at what a difference it can and will make to you on the inside. During a conference at a Presbyterian church in Omaha, people were given helium-filled balloons. And they were told to release them at some point in the service when they felt like expressing the joy that was in their hearts. Since they were Presbyterians, they were not free to say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." Therefore, they had to release their praise balloons. All through the service, balloons ascended one by one. But when it was over, a third of them remained unreleased. And you've got this picture of people just sitting there with their balloon like, it hasn't happened yet. Let those balloons go, folks. Our second stretch, as we get up in the morning, is out that way. It's proclaim. Can you do that for me? Don't make it hard for me, Matt. Fantastic. Brilliant. Is to proclaim. C.S. Lewis said this, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it's expressed." Now, I get that, because there's so many times I tell Jo that I love her, and she kind of knows. And it's for me as much as it is for her. Isn't it, darling? Sweetness. Because expressing it completes the delight. So the second exercise in our youth and beauty regime is proclaiming. It's got similarities to praise. We're talking about rejoicing in God. But this time it's also about addressing other people, telling others. When we tell others about God, His goodness, and make it our habit, something wonderful happens. When we do it with other Christians, we encourage each other. We remind each other. We do each other good. When we do it with those who don't know Him, we can bear witness to Him and be part of the process of drawing them to Him. But something stirs in our own hearts too. As we share with others the truth about Jesus and His love for us, even in the telling, our own faith wells up inside us. There's something about speaking it out that makes a difference. That's why the enemy, Satan, will always get you to try to express things internally, because you can fluff them then. You can kind of go, I really need to deal with this. I need to speak this out. I'll just do it in my heart. And you're not speaking anything. You're not getting to the core of things. But when you say it, God is good. God is always good. God is always good to me. Something breaks. Speaking it out. It's powerful. The regular exercise of proclaiming develops our faith muscles. So step two, proclaim. Spend a little time speaking out God's goodness and faithfulness. Tell your family, tell your friends, use the phone, use email, text, write if needs be. If there's no one around, tell the budgie, tell the dog, tell the cat. Tell yourself. We very often tell ourselves off, don't we? Jo plays tennis with someone who constantly misses the ball and goes, "Oh, Marjorie." It's a name as well, so that's a relief. But there are times when we need to tell ourselves, like the psalmist said, "Come on. Come on, soul. Trust God. Love God. Press on." And as you speak it out, you'll discover those exercises are faith building in yourself and in others. Say something good about God today and every day. Say something good about God today and every day. And the third one isn't really a stretch. It's to ponder. You can do that as well if you like, but you don't have to. See, no one wanted to. You didn't want to do the other exercises, did you? It's to ponder. We praise, we proclaim, we ponder. I'm using both hands because I can really ponder deeply with both. with one, it's just a little think. How profound are your thoughts, says the psalmist. The senseless man doesn't know. The fool doesn't understand. Those who take time to think it through, they're the ones who get it, who look beyond the superficial of the here and now. Those who haven't time to think about spiritual and eternal matters, they don't get it. Life won't make sense to them. But if we take time every day to ponder, and to ponder is about thinking. There are different aspects to thinking. It's about remembering. So often, if you listen to the psalmist, he'll say, "On my bed, I remember you. I think about you in the night. I remember your deeds. I remember your miracles of long ago." Nehemiah talks about when it all went wrong for his people. They refused to listen. They failed to remember. And the Bible keeps reminding us, remember, remember, remember. Don't forget. Remember God's hand on our lives throughout the years. in a way that gives hope and faith for the struggles of today. Maybe write those things down in a book as a constant reminder. Maybe write down every time a prayer has been answered. Every prayer, every time it's been answered. We don't just remember, we reflect. The psalmist talks about meditating on God's promises and on his works. So we think and reflect on what the day and the week and the years brought and what we can learn from it. Warnings, encouragement, wisdom to live by, writing it down. It's Joe and myself, it's our practice to journal and to come to the end of the year and look back over the year, beginning with the review we wrote of last year and then coming to the review we write of this year. And we can see the patterns of what God is doing, the patterns of what he's telling us. We can see how things have changed. We can see where things have stayed the same. The third thing is to realign. Joe's cousin Ben, amongst other things, because he's quite a character, drives tractors. It's what he does for a living. Most of the time he drives these whopping ones with computer satellite navigation systems. But sometimes he has to get back into one of those little tractors. And he said, it's really, really difficult to drive a tractor in a straight line. You wouldn't think so, would you? But to get from one end of the field to the other in straight lines, you drive, you think you're doing it in a straight line, and you look back, and you're all over the shop. And the only way to do it is to focus on a point the other side of the field and to keep your eyes on it the whole time as you drive, and then you get a straight line. It's about aligning. It doesn't matter how much he thinks he's going in a straight line, unless he's focused, he doesn't. And we need to take time to line up with spiritual truth and reality. And if we don't consciously do that, we'll think we're going in a God line, and we're not, because our hand's steady on the wheel. We line up with spiritual truth and reality, the strength and the victory that's ours despite what's going on in the world, our eternal destiny, God's blessing on our lives, our forgiveness, the Holy Spirit's power within us, the fact that nothing is impossible for God, the fact that God's grace is bigger than any sin that we could commit. We line up with the call of God in our lives, what he's asking us to do. Oh, I know God told me to do that for the next 2 years, but that was last week. Now I'm not so sure. God isn't fickle. He doesn't keep changing his mind. We need to line up with him. Then we can stay on track. We can get back on track. We can journey on a straight course. And we need to refocus. About 5 years ago, it seemed that every room that I was in, that the light wasn't quite as bright as it used to be, and that even on the sunny days, it wasn't quite as sunny as it used to be, because for some reason, it was always too dark to read properly. And I thought, we changed light bulbs, you know, I tried everything, and then I realized it was the fact that I couldn't see properly. It was actually the fact that I needed to get some reading glasses. But it doesn't feel like that, because you don't see yourself slowly degrading physically. And so you think, the light mustn't be so good. The print seems to be smaller. It's all a little bit fuzzy. I moaned about the lighting. I moaned about the print size. Then I bought some glasses. And it all got lighter, and the print got bigger. And when the pressure's on for us, it's easy to lose our focus. And without ideal conditions, we can't see clearly, spiritually speaking. And so we blame. We blame circumstances, friends, family. We blame God. We blame our confusion. Whereas what we often need to do is get some spiritual reading glasses to refocus again. So we're not thinking the way the world does, but with kingdom priorities and perspective. We need the Holy Spirit's power to do it. But as we take time to ponder, he'll enter our thinking. So we're not like senseless people or foolish people, but we're wise and we're discerning. So step 3 of the morning exercise program is to ponder. to spend a little time reflecting on God, His will and His way, as it shows itself in our circumstances. And as you do, you'll discover that more and more your thoughts will align with His. You'll see things as they really are. And God's kingdom and God's eternal values will become more and more real. And the stuff that the world says is real and valuable and powerful will actually lose its power and be seen for what it really is. The past will make more sense. The present will be more bearable. The future will be more exciting. Of course, with any exercise program, it takes discipline, doesn't it? It's no sense trying it for one day and giving it up and saying it hasn't worked. It takes time for the efforts to be fully seen. You have to keep it up. So maybe, as it's the start of the new year, it's a good resolution to have. To start the day with your three stretches to praise, to proclaim, to ponder, to end the day in the same way. I can guarantee you this, if you do it, you won't be disappointed. You'll be young at heart in the truest sense of the word. You'll be young and beautiful on the inside. And actually, that makes a difference to your looks. Do you know, I think people look the most handsome and the most beautiful when they worship. That's when you see people. You see their hearts. You see a radiance that comes from the Holy Spirit. Whatever might be happening on the outside, troublesome joints, dodgy plumbing, sound and lighting, heating not going very well, whatever the admin might say, this exercise regime will keep you young and fresh and flourishing where it matters most, in your heart. And it will keep you closer to your Heavenly Father, the one who loves you more than you'll ever know. Morning and evening, praise, proclaim, ponder. If you're kids, here's a challenge. Put some worship music on your iPods. Like some of the other albums that you may have hated until your friends told you to listen to them, and you got into them and thought they were great, get into worship. Because it'll change your heart. It'll make a huge difference. It doesn't have to be your mom and dad's worship albums. Because some of them are rubbish, aren't they? No, they're just a different era. But put some worship on your iPods. And I look forward to seeing the effects of this exercise regime in the days to come. And here's the challenge. Should you choose to accept it? It isn't Mission Impossible, it's Mission Possible. If you spend quite a lot of time and energy on how you look, if you do, it's not working. If you spend a lot of time and energy on how you look, I want you to spend as much time on how you look on the inside as how you look on the outside. Do that for the next few weeks and see how you get on. As much time as you do with your morning and nighttime beauty regime, spend as much time with God. As much time as you do going to the gym or exercising, do that with God. As much time as you do on the hunt for clothing and accessories, do that with God. As much time as you do on your PlayStation or your computer games, do that with God. Spend that time reading and studying, praising, proclaiming, and pondering. And if you say it is impossible to spend that much time, because how can I spend an extra 20 hours? Maybe, pondering for a moment, you're spending too much time doing it. Maybe you need to cut down on the outside to make room for the inside, and it'll make a lot more difference to how beautiful you are. If you're struggling to find time, be creative. Learn to zone out from the world and into God. You can do it in the car, on the bus, on the train. One of the best things is if you've got a phone or an iPod to put the earphones in, then people don't talk to you. You don't have to play any music. You can pray. You can spend time with God and people will leave you alone because they think that you're listening to something. It's not entirely deceitful, but just slightly, in a good way. You can spend time, I used to say, in the bathroom, in the shower in the UK, but you can't do it much here, can you? You've got your 4 minutes, the egg timer. When you walk, when you're doing the ironing, when you're washing up, when you're vacuuming, when you're mowing the lawn, when you're cleaning the car, can't do that either here. If you are driving, please keep your eyes open. Be aware of the safety aspects. But learn to multitask. Anything in praise, anything in prayer, anything in reflecting. It could change your life. Try it. Stick at it. And start today. This evening. Every time you do a stretch, just remember where that goes to praise. And goes to, and I don't know about that one, but praise, proclaim, ponder. Please do it because you'll be so much more beautiful if you do. And that will be good for all of us. Wouldn't it be fantastic to have the most beautiful church in the whole of Berwick? And we're quite close now, to be honest. But we could do even better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think together and as we laugh together, as we think about the pressures of the world and as we think about the truth about you, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us at the start of this year to be building on your foundations and not ours or the world's, that you're the builder of our house and that our house is built on you. And just pray, Lord, that you'd help us with these godly disciplines and that you'll bless that in us so that we can be increasingly be beautiful people, attractive people, full of your spirit, more and more like Jesus, showing on the outside the wonders of what is going on the inside and drawing people to you. Lord, where we are challenged, help us to be faithful to respond to that. Where we are encouraged, help us to take the energy of that encouragement and inspiration and motivation to do something. And may this be something that helps to change our lives for good and bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.